WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, this is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me from Vienna, Austria, half a world away, is Mike Brammer, allegedly overseas on business, but that's another story. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Bram, it's been a long time since we've talked to you, man. You've been traveling all over the place. Very quickly, I know you were down in Florida for your son Dylan's baseball exposure camp, and you bumped in and had a few Notre Dame connections down there. Just briefly tell us about that.
Yeah, it was neat. They had a bunch of schools that show up at a showcase camp, and basically they look at players and evaluate them at their positions that they play, and some former Notre Dame ties were there. Javier Sanchez, who played for Notre Dame during that magical run we had at the College World Series, who's now helping out Paul Maneri down at LSU, was there. So it was neat. Got to talk to him. Really nice guy. I mean, just class act all around. University of Virginia was there. Brian O'Connor, yeah. He's the used to be the pitching coach for Paul Maneri at Notre Dame. He's now at Virginia. He was there, but one of his assistants was.
Little quick aside on that, I have a colleague in from Virginia for work this week, and he's a big Virginia athletics nut, and they just love O'Connor out in Virginia, and he has really transformed that baseball program. So good to see some Notre Dame guys doing well.
Yeah, he really has, and that's not an easy school to do. Virginia, very difficult school academically, so he's very much in the same situation that he was at Notre Dame, and he's really done a phenomenal job with that program up to now.
Okay, anyway, moving right along, let's get over to some Irish athletics. Good to have you back on the program, Bram.
Yeah, okay. I'm in Vienna, actually, in a Starbucks, and the coffee tastes exactly the same over here, by the way. So,
is it still the $2.25 for a cup of coffee
it's a lot
over there?
That. It's actually, yeah. After the conversion, it's about $7 a cup of coffee.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little Notre Dame basketball to start out with. A lot of topics to talk about, including some football and some BCS news. So we'll be doing a couple shows this week covering a range of topics. But let's talk a little Irish hoops right now. Saturday, went over Eastern Michigan, and we've tied the school record for consecutive home wins, 24 in a row. Hey, first off, let's just say, you know, congratulations, hats off to Mike Bray's crew for that milestone. And the basketball team, coming off of two disappointing losses in the Virgin Islands, has bounced back. And yes, I know the competition's not exactly top flight competition right now, but we're playing well, shooting the ball really well, and heading into a really important game in Madison Square Garden versus Kansas State on Tuesday. So, Mike, initial observations, bouncing back from the Paradise Jam, what are your thoughts?
Well, one good thing is, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, but Baylor, who we thought maybe wasn't that very good of a basketball team, actually played Washington State down to the wire. Washington State's ranked sixth in the nation. They only ended up losing by three, but they were winning a lot of that game. So that just goes to show that, maybe the parity is a lot better than people think. But I think overall, you know, early in the season, this kind of stuff happens. It's nothing you can really freak out about, but the good news is, I think during that stretch, we lost those two games. We weren't getting much guard play. And McElarney the other night, Saturday night, was 8 of 10 from the field. So anytime you're getting that from your number two, I mean, that's going to go a long, long way.
I tell you one item from the stat line in Saturday's game, Torrey Jackson way down on the turnovers. I mean, you know, I think he had some issues with turnovers so far this year, and seems to have eliminated that, played a real solid game at point on Saturday. But yeah, the backcourt play, as important as it is to have Heron Godey, and maybe these two things are related. You know, Heron Godey is just such a presence on the front line that it's really starting to open things up. This is a very unselfish team. They make the extra pass, and now McElarney's starting to knock him down, as is Ryan Ayers, who had a real solid game against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, I think when you're top-heavy, when you're heavy down low, obviously teams are going to start packing it in on you and basically, you know, giving up a few of those open wide looks that we were missing earlier. So, you know, we start knocking that down, especially in Big East play. I mean, you have to have the horses up front. We've got them. I mean, we have what it takes to compete down low in the Big East. The question mark is, you know, do we have it on the outside? And I think that McLarney, he starts heating it up. And even Torrey Jackson, I mean, I think people underestimate him as an outside threat. And he can heat it up every now and then. He did in high school. I mean, he was a little scorer in high school. So, you know, that you put that stuff together, we start hitting from outside, and we could be a real dangerous team.
Well, what I like about McLarney and Torrey Jackson, yeah, I think Jackson can knock down the occasional three. I mean, he's not going to make a living out there. McLarney and Ayers need to be the guys that really stretch the defense. But what I like about both McLarney and Jackson is they could put the ball on the floor and create their own shot and hit that mid-range jumper. You know, a little ball fake, a couple dribbles into the lane, and they both can hit that little floater. Yeah. Jackson can, and Jackson's a great finisher. He's so creative with the ball.
He had that great run in the tournament last year at the end. I mean, he really carried us a couple of those games heading in down the stretch. But I think a lot of people underestimate about what a baller McLarney is. He's a guy that can take it to the hoop. He doesn't seem like it, but he can, and he's a great finisher as well. So I think, you know, you got McLarney who, and he, at times, can even spell Torrey Jackson at the point as well. I mean, that adds a lot.
And Jonathan Peoples is given some good minutes right now as well, and showing the ability that that, you know, he could step in and play. He's not as dynamic off the dribble, but, you know, he was a prolific scorer in high school as well. I think he shoots the ball pretty well, and, you know, he's a good enough ball handler.
Yeah. I mean, last year, he played a little bit out of control last year, if you remember. I mean, he'd come in the game and get called for an immediate offensive foul on a charge, and it seems like he's, you know, he's matured a bit now. He seems to be a little bit better under control, and he's definitely got some athletic ability. I mean, you like to see that.
So in terms of the other guys in the starting lineup, I mean, it's good to see Ayers being able to consistently knock down the perimeter shot. He's a guy that also is bringing a lot to the table defensively. He's athletic, he's big, and he's usually drawn the toughest assignments so far early this year. He is such a key guy, you know, once we get into Big East play. Hillsland, again, does so many things well. Sometimes I think he's a little out of control with the ball. But does so many things well that he's a guy that's got to get his minutes. But then, you know, you look at Curtis just does what he does, just a tremendous work ethic, physical, tough, can step out and shoot it. The one thing that you look at how we match up, you know, I think I worry about rebounding sometimes. As Curtis and Heron Godey, as much as you love those guys, sometimes I think bigger athletic teams are going to give us trouble rebounding.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really think a key to this whole season could end up being Zach Hillsland. I mean, he's a guy that great ball skills. You know, a lot of times we can take advantage of that weaker defensive stick on Hillsland, where if a guy doesn't match it, because Hillsland is an athletic guy. He can get up and down the court. He can bring the ball up and down the court. And he's not a bad finisher himself either. So I think that...
I agree. We do create some matchup problems for people, don't we?
We can take advantage of a lot of that if given the opportunity with him. So... You know, I really
now, look, here's what it comes down to. I think Mike Bray is an excellent bench coach. There's lots of people that, you know, Mike Bray's got critics out there. But for me, you know, I think he's a great bench coach. When you look at the number of close games that we've played over the years, a lot of people point to that and say, see, we lose those games. I look at those games and say, we don't have the talent that, you know, the rest of the Big East has. And the fact that we're even in those games is a testament to the game plan and the bench coaching of Mike Bray.
Yeah, and I think
that's how I see it.
2 years ago, I mean, obviously we had a ton of close games and we didn't pull out any of them. And so I think that's where you saw a lot of people starting to wane on him. Last year, we basically won a lot of games that a lot of people didn't think we were going to win. And immediately everybody starts saying, well, maybe the talent's a lot better than we think. Well, yeah, it could be that. It could be that the coaching's a lot better than we think.
Absolutely.
You know, I did watch his press conference after the game Saturday night, and he said a lot of things you want to hear from a head coach. And I think what he's saying was, look, you know, somebody asked him, hey, how do you explain what you guys have done in 24 straight wins at home? And he said, look, I mean, basketball is a lot about being in the right state of mind when you step on the floor. You got to have that feeling that, hey, man, we own this. We're going to win, and we get in a rhythm where we think we can knock down everything that we put up on the floor because this is our home floor. And he's right. I mean, you get in situations, you can't win that many games without thinking that we owe it to win this game. I mean, this is ours. So, I mean, I think from that standpoint, Bray has it figured out, and he says the right things, and he's got guys playing at the top of their game, which as a coach is what you want. I mean, you want guys playing above where they're capable.
I agree completely. Now, you know, I think – Coach made a comment in one of the dorms recently that drew some criticism from you know, some Irish fans, in that he made a comparison to the program being like a mid-major program. And I think his point was that we have guys who come in and stay for 4 years and develop. We don't have a lot of guys that often are impact players as freshmen. Last year was a bit unusual with Torrey Jackson and Heron Godey. But generally, our guys come in and are program guys who develop late in their career for their junior or senior year. I mean, go back to Torian Jones, and let's look at Russell Carter, and even a guy like Rob Kurz, who doesn't come in right away but takes a year or two to develop. And I think that was the comparison Coach was making, but it was, I think, taken out of context. And he, you know, so he said some things that I think irritated some in the Irish fan base. But I understand his point, and he's right. We're not the kind of program that's going to bring in a bunch of impact guys who stay for a year or two, make a run at deep into the tournament, but rather we're a veteran group who's going to beat those, you know, NBA talented teams because we stay together for 4 years. Yeah, does that make sense?
I think it does. I mean, it's a totally different philosophical approach on the way college basketball is today. You know, everybody's excited about that freshman that comes in. You know, look at Eric Gordon at IU. I mean, that's great what they're doing this year, but you know what? You're going to get a year of him playing.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be there for 4 years.
So I think that certainly, I mean, you look at a lot of the teams that make it deep into the tournament, you find a lot of senior, heavy-laden teams, juniors and seniors, that if these guys have been playing together for a while, I mean, that's a huge, huge advantage. So, I mean, you know, it's pick your poison. You either go with, all right, let's go grab the top talent that's out there and let them leave a year later, or you kind of do what Bray's doing, which you'd hope he'd do one or the other, and he's obviously doing the other. So, I mean, you look at Notre Dame right now, and they play very good, fundamentally unselfish
right.
basketball.
And he recruits for his system, and that system is to have intelligent guys that play well together, understand the game. He talks about high basketball IQ, and he recruits for those guys to plug into his system. And, you know, you can't argue with the results so far, in my opinion, right? I think he's done a great job here. And this year, the last chapter hasn't been written. The two losses early certainly put us in a difficult spot relative to RPI and all those things because the non-conference schedule wasn't that tough. But that's why this Tuesday's game against Kansas State is huge. Kansas State, very athletic, great, one of those impact freshmen we talked about. You know, Heron Godey's going to have his hands full. And Kansas State has lost a couple close games early in the year, but they've been ranked. They're expected to be a very good team, and this is the kind of win we absolutely have to get Tuesday night in New York City.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We're going to be back with another show within a day or two, and we'll talk a little bit about the Kansas State game. We'll also preview the Saturday game against Northern Illinois, which hopefully will be the record-setting performance for consecutive home wins in men's basketball. And then we'll also do a couple shows on football this week in the BCS mess. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.